Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's begin by simply pausing what we have been doing to just come together and join in this silence that's always here. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And so we place the Holy Spirit in charge. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind, and taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Okay, so we'll be picking up where we left off last week. So in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 313. It's the second full paragraph. It begins with the sentence, God willed you heaven and will always will you nothing else. So again, that's Sparkle Edition, page 313. In the original edition, it is chapter 13, part 5, paragraph 43. In the print copy of the book, it's page 263. It also begins with the sentence, God willed you heaven and will always will you nothing else. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we're on page 268. It's also chapter 13, and it's paragraph 8, and it's starting like in the middle, actually the latter part of the paragraph, sentence number 7. So again, FIP is page 268, paragraph 8, sentence 7. And I believe in the FIP edition, it's going to flow right into the next chapter, but we're still in chapter 13 in the other editions of the book. All right, here we go. God willed you heaven and will always will you nothing else. The Holy Spirit knows only of his will. There is no chance that heaven will not be yours, for God is sure, and what he wills is sure as he is. You will learn salvation because you will learn how to save. It will not be possible to exempt yourself from what the Holy Spirit wills to teach you. Salvation is as sure as God. His certainty suffices. Learn that even the darkest nightmare that disturbed the mind of God's sleeping son holds no power over him. He will learn the lesson of awakening. God watches over him, and light surrounds him. And I'll just pause there. I love how reassuring. This is just so reassuring to me. It's so certain that I love how it says, even the darkest nightmare that disturbed the mind of God's sleeping son holds no power of him. We will learn the lesson of awakening. It's beautiful.
It's just what I need to hear right now.
Right?
Yeah.
I was thinking that as we were reading it. Let's read the next paragraph. Can God's son lose himself in dreams when God has placed within him the glad call to waken and be glad? He cannot separate himself from what is in him. His sleep will not withstand the call to wake. The mission of redemption will be fulfilled as surely as the creation will remain unchanged throughout eternity. You do not have to know that heaven is yours to make it so. It is so. Yet the will of God must be accepted as your will to know it. The Holy Spirit cannot fail to undo for you everything you have learned that teaches you what is not true must be reconciled with truth. This is the reconciliation which the ego would substitute for your reconciliation unto sanity and unto peace. The Holy Spirit has a very different kind of reconciliation in his mind for you, and one which he will effect as surely as the ego will not effect what it attempts. And I'll pause there. So again, just more reassuring words here that that call to waken is within us. We can't separate ourselves from it. And the sleep that we find ourselves in, where we are seemingly in this dream, in these seeming separate bodies, this sleep cannot withstand the call to wake. So that's just very, very reassuring to me. I also really like how it goes on to say, the Holy Spirit cannot fail to undo for you everything you have learned that teaches you what is not true must be reconciled with truth. That first sentence, how it says the Holy Spirit cannot fail to undo for you, is just, again, another, I feel like I highlighted a sentence like this maybe last week or the week before, but it's, again, the Holy Spirit undoing it for us by our allowing the Holy Spirit to do it, simply by... in the most simplest of terms, saying, help, 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 or handing it over, giving it over, however we want to say it.
Corinne, can I just ask, I'm not sure if maybe I heard wrong or I'm reading it wrong, but the sentence that says, you do not have to know that heaven is yours to make it so, yet it is so, yet the will of God must be accepted as your will to know it. Mm-hmm. The last part of the sentence is just a little confusing to me.
Yeah, I'm going to start, I think, with the first sentence that you read and then just sort of flow into the next. So we don't have to know that heaven is ours. It is ours. Whether or not we are aware of that or whether or not we accept it, it is ours. But in order for us to know that heaven is ours, we do have to realize that our will and God's will are the same. So once we accept that my will is God's will, then we know it. We know that heaven is ours. Does that help at all?
I think so. I think it was just.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't it sort of come down to we have to believe it?
I almost feel like the word accept it, like believe it, yes, is definitely, you can definitely say it that way. Sometimes belief, we can say we believe something simply by just deciding, like, oh, I'm just going to believe this versus, like, a real, like, acceptance or a real knowing. I don't know if I'm making sense. Yes, the word belief, absolutely, that works. That's definitely a way of saying it.
I think we have to kind of go beyond that, too, with the Holy Spirit. And once again, say, help me to believe this.
Yeah.
It feels so right.
Yeah.
I was going
to
say,
help me
to
believe this.
Like, it goes beyond intellectual understanding. Like,
yes.
Thank you.
Not something that we understand with our small mind.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's not,
the senses
it's not
are the problem. You know, they.
It's not an intellectual belief. It's like a type of.
So then
belief.
we don't earn it then, right?
No.
No.
Thank God.
We already have it.
That's it. That was my question. See?
Yep. Perfect. I'm really glad that you brought that up, Brian, because so many teachings in the world, at least, I don't know, so many, the ones that I've heard, that this is something that's conditional. It has to be earned. You know, not everybody gets it. And the Course is super clear that we have it already. We don't have to earn a thing. We just have to accept it and embrace it as ours.
Amazing.
In order to know it.
Beautiful. Hmm. And of course, the sleep thing, too, and the trance, that the fog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. This foggy sleep that can be so addictive and, what's the word I'm looking for, tempting, you know, so tempting. It seems so real. It seems so real. And so we can get lost in that sleep. But like we have just read, it's so super clear that this sleep, this fog, can't withstand the call within us to wake. Because as Paula said earlier, I think this was before we started recording the call, it was, we on some level, deeply, all of us know this. We all know that there's something way more than what our body's eyes can see.
Mm-hmm.
And as this section, as we go on and read, what we'll see is that it talks about how this, we have to apply active effort to deny it. We have to actively deny what is to keep it out of our awareness. So deep, deep down. How the Course says we're actually afraid of the love of God. So that's what we're hiding from in this fog while we play in this dream of separation. And I'll just highlight, too, the latter paragraph, the last one that I read, when it says the reconciliation, I'm sorry, it was the first sentence. The Holy Spirit can't fail to undo for you everything that you've learned that teaches you what is not true must be reconciled with truth. This is the reconciliation which the ego would substitute for your reconciliation unto sanity, unto peace. This is talking about how we so badly would love to reconcile this world with truth when the Course is teaching. It's more of that non-dualistic teaching that this world isn't real. So there is nothing here to be brought to truth because everything that we're in is this dream. We experience snippets of truth as we start to turn toward the Holy Spirit and start to experience these, you know, awakenings. But ultimately, the reconciliation of the Holy Spirit is that we fully come to realize, again, that heaven is ours and that this seeming plane of existence is not our home. It's nothing. And that can be a little scary to our egos, too. So
very scary.
If anybody has anything come up around that, we can always talk about that, too, because that used to freak me out for a long time until I realized that this process is extremely gentle. Nothing gets whisked away or, you know, it's just a very gentle process of undoing as we continue to turn to the Holy Spirit. Although I'm sure at times it can feel like the rug gets yanked out from under us, but the part of us that experiences that feeling of the rug being yanked out is the part of us that isn't who we are. Let's keep reading. Failure is of the ego, not of God. From him you cannot wander. And there is no possibility that the plan the Holy Spirit offers to everyone for the salvation of everyone will not be perfectly accomplished. You will be released, and you will not remember anything you made that was not created for you and by you in return. For how can you remember what was never true or not remember what has always been? It is this reconciliation with truth and only truth in which the peace of heaven lies. So in other words, we'll just simply decide that we're ready to forget what was never true and know what has always been. Anyone have anything come up so far before we move on? This is where
that can be a little challenging.
And we're not there yet. None of us that's at the point when, you know, we are ready to perhaps fully wake up from the dream. I think that people have glimpses. I'll just speak for myself, you know. We have experiences here and there that teach us the truth of this, but staying there, So the next section in the Sparkle Edition is called The Testimony of Miracles, which I think is pretty cool. And this is actually the very beginning of Chapter 14 in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition. So again, our just the chapter subheading things are a little off. The Testimony of Miracles. Yes, you are blessed indeed. Yet in this world, you do not know it. But you have the means for learning it and seeing it quite clearly. The Holy Spirit uses logic as easily and as well as does the ego, except that his conclusions are not insane. They take a direction exactly opposite, pointing as clearly to heaven as the ego points to darkness and to death. We have followed much of the ego's logic and have seen its logical conclusions. And having seen them, we have realized that they cannot be seen but in illusions, for there alone their seeming clearness seems to be clearly seen. Let us now turn away from them and follow the simple logic by which the Holy Spirit teaches you the simple conclusions that speak for truth and only truth. So in other words, this to me is a reminder that things that I see, things that I think, you know, are happening out there in the world, this is a reminder to me to go back to that prayer in the Course, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction, .. Let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming. It's a reminder to me to turn away from what the body's eyes show me and instead to turn to the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit's vision to show me the truth instead.
And for me now, that whole thing that you just described is right in there where it says, as the ego points to darkness and to death. Because lately, somehow, it's as if the ego drives you into a corner and just locks you up. It won't let you step out. If you get that. I don't know if you get that, but for me, that's what it's been the last couple of weeks. It's just I get locked into this thought process, and it feels like darkness and death, and you can't, you know, you get locked in, and that's when it's like, like before, it's like, Holy Spirit, come on.
Yeah, I completely resonate with that. I've been there. I know exactly just the, you know, the overwhelming, it seems, you know, like such an overpowering closed loop that the ego, you know, can sort of get you in where you just feel, at least for myself, you know, like you're just stuck in with particular, whatever it may be, fears, anxieties, thoughts. And again, just to sort of step back and take a look at that, you know, that the ego wants to keep you there because it's the best evidence that it has that you're a body. That's the best bait that it can throw out to you to try to keep our belief in this, you know, separate state. And so, again, it's so simple that we're asked to do so little, but just having that tiny bit of willingness is all you need. So continuing to just call on the Holy Spirit to say, I'm willing to see this differently, whatever, you know, words there are that feel comforting and useful in that circumstance. I've really, with all the patterns that I've gone through, particularly for me, anxiety patterns that I've gone through again and again and again, and finally laying them down, it's so clear to me now that they're just like layers of an onion. We've used this image so many times, and it just, we're peeling those layers back as we continue to turn things to the Holy Spirit to let them, you know, to have that exchange for that miracle instead. For me, it took a lot of time, you know, in my particular situation with just some of my patterns were so entrenched, but being sort of on the outside of that now, I just feel like the onion thing makes so much sense to me now.
But it's proof. But Corinne, it's proof that you could do it, and you did.
Yeah. Yes.
Help me with that, because I don't mean to monopolize here, but like you just get locked in, and you just feel like, oh my gosh, It is darkness and death. Help me.
Well, yeah, that's one great way of saying it. You know, any of the little tools that we've talked about, like the little prayers, like the take this from me and look upon it prayer, yeah. if that's helpful. I had something that came to mind. Oh, I know what it was. I have found for myself, so today, this is, gosh, it's so funny. I feel so resolved from it now. I have to open up my journal. I only journal when I'm working through something now. I used to journal all the time, and now it's like if I get in that pattern of feeling stuck, I usually turn to my journal to work through something. And I just journaled for the first time today in several months, it looks like, and it was pretty funny because what came up for me, rather than looking at like the form of the circumstance, whatever that circumstance may be, if we can sort of stop and ask ourselves, what is this circumstance showing me that I believe? So to just give you a quick example, I was having some anxiety over a class that I'm teaching that's coming up this week. And I was like, why am I feeling this? And so I just, you know, I started looking at the belief as to why I was feeling this anxiety about this class. And I realized that I'm afraid of being attacked. I think I shared with you all last week or the week before that somebody had dropped out of this class, and I took it personally. I was, you know, upset. How could they drop out? You know, they're not liking it. Oh my gosh. And so personalizing it. And so having some anxiety with moving forward this week, because there's some different things coming up, I said to myself, what is the belief that I'm holding? What is this situation, this anxiety showing me about the belief that I'm holding? And it was that I believe I can be attacked. So there is the underlying belief that was sort of fueling the whole thing. That, and there's a bunch of different beliefs that go with that. If I believe that I'm attacked, I certainly believe I'm Corinne. I certainly believe that I'm a body. I certainly, you know, think that I can be hurt and fragile and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so it was simply an opportunity for me to look at that belief with the Holy Spirit and take that underlying belief to the Holy Spirit. So rather than tackling the form, which in the past I may have been, and there's nothing wrong if you have to tackle the form because we have to be happy learners and we have to be where we're at, but I've done that many times. So for instance, if I would have tackled the form, maybe I would have done some talking with my co-facilitator and some, you know, really like a lot of rehearsal about like what I was going to do in this class to try to like, you know, get prepared. And instead of doing that, and I had to do a little bit of that just because it's the nature of the class, instead by going to the underlying belief as to what was fueling the anxiety and looking at that with the Holy Spirit, the whole situation, all the feelings lifted. So I felt like this was another layer of the onion that was coming up for me to look at that underlying belief with the Holy Spirit and then be willing to let it be exchanged for the miracle instead. And what I let go of was that, you know, I gave that belief to the Holy Spirit, and what I got back instead was that relief, that letting go of that stinky onion that was making my eyes water, at least the layer. So I hope that makes sense and maybe gives a little tip as to, you know, see if you can question what are the beliefs that I'm holding on to that are, you know, coming up because of this situation that I can look at with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
Thank you for sharing, Corinne. That was very helpful.
Yeah, that was
great.
Good,
good, good.
I just wanted to share too that lately for me, when stuff has been coming up, like I just, I think I'm on lesson 81, so I just did lesson 80, and it was let me recognize that my problems are already solved. And that has been huge. When the little mind starts going on, it's like spiraling, like, what am I going to do about this? Or whatever the case may be, just having that statement to go to and let me recognize that my problems are already solved. It's already done. So I can choose to go down the anxious road if I want to, but in the end, it's really not going to change anything. or affect any outcome. So I don't know, that's just been really comforting for me lately.
My God, that truly is the answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
In every situation, it's all done.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Thank you for adding that, DJ. How about we read the next paragraph? I think, are we at, if you are blessed and do not know it, is that where I left off?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we are. Okay. If you are blessed and do not know it, you need to learn it must be so. The knowledge is not taught, but its conditions must be acquired, for it is they that have been thrown away. You can learn to bless and cannot give what you have not. If then you offer blessing, it must have come first to yourself. And you must also have accepted it as yours, for how else could you give it away? I would just like to highlight the second sentence. The knowledge is not taught, but its conditions must be acquired, for it is they that have been thrown away. Think about how in order for it to rain outside, there has to be certain conditions. There have to be clouds. There has to be a certain level, I guess, of humidity, whatever, I don't even know. Whatever the conditions are, definitely there have to be clouds. Those conditions have to be in place first before it can rain. So we can't learn knowledge. This is something, you know, that's beyond us here, but it says its conditions must be acquired. So the conditions are we're setting up these conditions when we're willing to be in that space of I don't know, when we're willing to turn to that Holy Spirit and let go of, you know, what it is that we are fixated on and ask for that miracle instead. So these are the conditions that we learn in order to, again, start to remember truth, start to remember who we really are. So that example of the clouds just had helped me, so I thought I would share it.
There's something that occurred about, I just get this idea as you were reading this, that appreciation is such a big part of that. When we're willing, you know, to really look around at our life and focus on appreciation. And Carol talks about that a lot. And sometimes I have resistance to it. But when I really stop and get a focus on it, the shifts that take place are pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, Paula, for bringing that up. As we were starting this conversation, this call, I'm sitting in my bedroom. I'm usually downstairs, you know, with the telephone call. But as I said earlier, you know, I'm up in my room away from things. And the very, very cool thing that came to me was I get excited about manifestation and about, you know, appreciation and gratitude, like Paula was saying. And February timeframe, like the beginning of February, the end of January, I started manifesting a new bedroom. And it came in little pieces. It was like the energy was very high, and I was very excited. And I literally just went on the internet and I looked into how to redo your bedroom, like on a shoestring budget. And I started looking at things, and I could feel my energy raising, and I attracted this chandelier on Craigslist for $20, and then I got this bed and this mattress, and then I looked into painting the furniture that we've had for 35 plus years, and it's all done. It's done.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Sitting in this bedroom going, this is really nice. just needed to share that because I definitely need to be in appreciation, and that feels, that helps me to shift into believing all these things I'm hearing tonight, because I really need to, I can feel the energy, the good energy that I've really been missing. And I think Brian said earlier, you know, it's like a choice. And I haven't been choosing that because I've been in the, this other world kind of thing. And so I thank you, Paula, for reminding me about that.
Yeah, well, the ego has terrible resistance to it. And, you know, it's kind of like just being the observer of that resistance. Oh, that was so helpful so many times this week. And all of a sudden I got this notion that, wait a minute, there, I'm going to go to that place of deep peace within myself by becoming the observer. And boy, I'm not kidding. That really, Brian, when you were talking before, that's what occurred to me. You know, if you can just ask Holy Spirit for help, you know, to step back and just watch those crazy thoughts that are putting you in that place of, you know, separation.
Yes.
Because those crazy thoughts are
it's
not
all
yours.
Craziness.
They're not your thoughts. They're not,
well,
your thoughts.
They're
not
your
thoughts.
Well, what's
so good is, you know, she redid her bedroom. She got active. She did something. That's beautiful.
Well, I think, too, like, with Carol's story, which is so awesome, is exactly how spirit works, is that she didn't know she was going to redo the whole bedroom. She just got little pieces at a time.
Yeah,
and that's how spirit operates. You're just trusting, and you're taking one step at a time. You don't know what the full outcome is, but you're just trusting. And before she knew it, the bedroom was done, and that's really how spirit operates.
Beautiful.
It's a reflection of what you need will be provided. That sometimes, you know, we get into thinking we have certain needs, but we really don't. You know, there are things maybe that we really want but really don't need. But the needs, what we need will be provided. It says that very clearly in the Course, and that's another thing that I've just come to trust so deeply. Same sort of story. I, a while ago, just had the thought, like, I really need some new clothes. Like, I'm the type of person who hates shopping and will wear stuff until it's, you know, my mom one time was like, Corinne, you have to throw that coat out. Like, it just looks bad. And I had that thought of just, you know, I really need some new clothes. And my sister ended up working for a time for Free People. I don't know if anybody knows that brand.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive clothing, nothing that I'd ever buy myself. And she's probably sent me about 2 boxes of just free clothing that has totally transformed my wardrobe. So it's just pretty funny.
Oh,
that,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. What we need will be provided.
And, the small mind, too, gets caught up in, like, timing and details. And the Course always reminds me that everything shows up in the perfect, like, time when you need it, not when you think you need it, but when you actually need it.
Yes. Perfect.
You know, I want to say that, you know, there's been a lot going on, and today my son got in touch with us, and I could tell there was something going on, and yet he was talking about other things. And towards the end of the conversation, he shared about not having housing for next year. Just a little thing, you know. And my, you know, I was talking with him and trying to be encouraging, but really not feeling that way myself. And, you know, my husband, we got off the phone, and he's saying, I just see somebody coming up to him and saying, you need a place to stay? I need a place to stay. Let's stay together. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I'm way into the ego going, well, wait a minute. You need to understand that he needs place to stay. And my husband's like, it's happening. It's done. I could not go down that road with him. And listening to everything I'm hearing tonight, Deidre, one of the things that is really like in the forefront of my mind is that story that you wrote on your blog about how you attracted your apartment. Oh my God, so inspiring. If somebody has not read that, please read it because it is so inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm kind of sort of, you know, recreating that because I'm submitting applications to a school that I feel really strongly that I'm meant to attend. I don't, at this moment in time, know where the tuition is going to come from, the funding to attend the school, and I don't know where I'm going to live. But if it's meant to be, if it's the path that God wills, that will all be provided. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any answers right now, literally, but I'm just, you know, writing my application or writing my letter of my personal statement to the university or asking people for recommendation letters and looking into where I can apply for funding and writing letters to those people. And I'm not going to lie, I've had moments where I've been like, oh my God, like how am I going to pay for things? But I always am taking it back to God and saying, if this is your will, then it will be provided. So it's a really, and I've done it before, so, you know, it's just trusting.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the line in the Course? Trust would settle all things now.
Yeah.
Trust would settle all things. I support you in that. Believe me. And I think of you so often in so many ways with my own wants, you know. It's just really trusting and also not placing too much emphasis on the outcome or even caring about the outcome.
I mean, I'd like to go to this school, but if God has another plan for me, then that'll present itself. But I have noticed that everything seems to be just falling into place. Like every single person I've asked to be involved with my application process has either thanked me for asking them to recommend me because they believe in me so much, or, you know, has been like, what else can I do for you? Like, how can I support you? And so
wow.
It like, stuff just doesn't happen like that if it's not meant
yeah.
to be. So I'm just taking those as little signs along the way and doing my, like I'm not sitting and doing nothing, but I'm also not like stressing myself out like I have in the past either. So yeah, it's all good.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. Let's do a little more reading. Where am I? Okay, I think that is why your miracles offer, right? Yes. That is why your miracles offer you the testimony that you are blessed. If what you offer is complete forgiveness, you must have let it go. I'm sorry. If what you offer is complete forgiveness, you must let guilt go. You must have let guilt go, accepting the atonement for yourself and learning you are guiltless. How could you learn what has been done for you, but which you do not know, unless you do what you would have to do if it had been done unto you? Indirect proof of truth is needed in a world made of denial and without direction. You will perceive the need for this if you realize that to deny is the decision not to know. The logic of the world must therefore lead to nothing, for its goal is nothing.
Is indirect capitalized and then lowercase in your book?
Yes. Capital I, so indirect.
Capital
so
I-N, and then direct is lowercase.
Yeah, it's emphasizing that it's indirect proof of truth. Meaning, okay, so I feel like there was a lot of words in some of these sentences. How could you learn what has been done for you, but which you do not know, unless you do what you would have to do if it had been done unto you? Such a wordy sentence. Indirect proof of truth is needed in a world made of denial and without direction. So what comes up for me with what we just read is that, again, it's these glimpses that we get, these little moments of recognition, these miracles that we experience, which are indirect examples of truth. They're not truth themselves. The Course even says that about, you know, miracles. We don't need miracles in heaven. There's not a use or a need for them there. We need them here, however. So we get these indirect examples of truth because our world is made to keep truth out. And so the Holy Spirit will work with whatever limits we have interposed between love and our awareness of love's presence. And so that's just what came up for me with that sentence. So we're learning in the best way, in ways that are most meaningful for us. And I feel like we've even just reflected that on the call so far. Like, you know, it was meaningful for me to need clothing and it show up. And Carol, what you shared about your bedroom. And so it's just all these, you know, personalized examples that are there to teach us that we're safe. We're taken care of. How about we also read the next paragraph? If you decide to have and give and be nothing except a dream, you must direct your thoughts unto oblivion. And if you have and give and are everything, and all this has been denied, your thought system is closed off and wholly separated from the truth. This is an insane world. And do not underestimate the actual extent of its insanity. Mm-hmm. There is no area of your perception that it has not touched, and your dream is sacred to you. That is why God placed the Holy Spirit in you where you placed the dream.
Corinne, does that relate to lesson, I think it's in the 77 maybe, that talks about there are no laws but God's?
Absolutely. What came up for you? What did you read that made you think of that lesson?
It says, I lost my spot now. Hang on a second.
That's okay.
The part where it says there is no spot in your perception that that it has not touched, and that your dream is sacred to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, when I think of lesson 70, it always kind of is a mind bender, because we do have laws on the level of form that we absolutely believe in.
Uh-huh.
And yet God's laws are almost always opposite to the laws of the world. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that the dream is sacred to us. You're absolutely right. We have agreed upon, you know, these laws that, we've all agreed upon them, and they make up the world. And to question any of these laws, like, for instance, to question death, it's like, what? You know, you're absolutely nuts. Of course death is part of life, you know. But as you're saying, the Course is very clear that there are no laws but God's, and that these other laws that we've made are simply laws that we've dreamed up and agreed to hold in place and not question. And so, yeah, every this is always just a good reminder for me too. There's no area of your perception that it has not touched. So if I always just think for myself, like I've done a lot of work with looking at the spiritual ego because I feel like that's a really particularly sneaky place where it shows up. And certainly, as this is saying here, even in, you know, the area of spirituality, of course, we're going to still have ego stuff that shows up there as well. And so it's important for us to always remember that everything, even if we think we've got it, there was a quote that when I went on that silent mindfulness retreat, the teacher shared, when you think you have it, it isn't it. Meaning, when I decide, you know, if I were to decide, oh, I get it now, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm enlightened or whatever you want to say, who's the one that's deciding that, right? It's always going to be the ego because the spirit part of us is quiet and doesn't need to say a thing. And so it's just a good reminder to turn everything over to the Holy Spirit. That's why I make it my regular practice to go through my laundry list of things that I, you know, have attachments to and to, you know, just imagine giving each one of them to the Holy Spirit because I know the Holy Spirit will use them on behalf of my awakening rather than me using them on behalf of keeping myself asleep.
Hey, family.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. It's been great listening into the call. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Last night I was in New York. I went to like a little play, and it's this interracial couple, and I've seen them before. And they basically talk about their experiences of how they met and just life lessons. And so what they wound up talking about, like I had an opportunity to go to hang out in another part of New York, go to a jazz club or go bowling in New Jersey. And I said, now I'm going to New York because I saw this couple before and I really liked them. They were so funny. This was like 7-8 years ago. So I went by myself. I didn't invite anybody on purpose. And so I get there and they started talking like as the show was winding up and all of the content that they had visited, which was actually, put it this way, that show was for grown folks. And so and so when they got to the part that they were talking about their another aspect of life lessons and spirituality, they explored Buddhism and they talked about, you know, people who are sitting here, if you enjoyed this show, it's because of your own projection. You know, what you're seeing is something that's coming out of your own mind. And if you didn't like this show, it's the same thing. You know, it's something that you're projecting. You're looking not to like the show. And so they just started talking about just truth, being here. And everything that we're seeing is a projection of our own minds. And I said, holy shit, I didn't think I was going to get some course when I came.
Oh, I love it. That's really awesome. That's really, really awesome. Wow. Carla, are you still there? I think Carla just got bumped, actually. I think she just got dropped off the call. That was really cool, though. How true. How true.
Yeah.
My goodness. Pretty funny, you know. The course shows up where you least expect it, even in a show in New York City. So we'll see if Carla, if she joins us again. But does anybody else have anything that has come up? I think, Brian, were you going to share something?
Yeah, it's just there's that one sentence in there. That it's an insane world. And I don't know why I have this image, but as you're reading it, I get this image, and it's a very famous photograph taken by the astronauts when they're on the moon.
Mm.
And you know, there's a whole series of pictures of the Earth shot from the moon.
Oh.
And I have this image that the Earth is like this nest or like honeybees or something, and there's all this buzzing, and you know, the fact that everything, just everything that goes on the planet, falls into this sentence, and there I am standing on the moon looking, and I'm fighting, right, for like this, the focus of what we've been focusing on, like spiritual strength to maintain it, you know? I don't know why I just have that image, and it's kind of a lonely image, like standing on the moon. But that's the image I have, and it's serene in the sense that it's totally quiet. You know, there's no sound in space, so I'm insulating myself from the craziness of this world. But thank goodness for this call. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's not a lonely place, actually. You know, if you take that image and sort of step back even further, imagine the whole entire universe and cosmos and everything in what we call, you know, outer space being all part of this dream and outside of it. I almost think of, you know, it just came to mind for me. Has anybody seen the first Men in Black where the galaxy is actually in a marble that's tied around a cat's neck? Does this ring a bell?
The whole
galaxy is in this tiny little thing, and at the end, very end of the movie, you see these like aliens playing marbles with these galaxies, and like they're joyous and having fun, and you know everybody in that little galaxy has this distorted sense of, you know, obviously we could put it into coarse terms, separation, whatnot. So Brian, I would encourage you to even expand that image wider, thinking of yourself as with all of creation, not alone, you know, looking at this just crazy dream of nothingness that, you know, we're learning is not who we are.
And I'm a huge fan of the cosmos and Carl Sagan and all that. So, yes, that is the view.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool. Awesome, everyone. So it doesn't look like, unfortunately, Carla was able to hop back on, but I'm glad she shared that story with us. We're at the top of the hour. Does anybody else have anything to share before we wrap up?
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
It was really helpful to share the space with all of you. I love you all, and we'll see you next week.
Love you, too.
Same. Take care.
Bye-bye.